Welcome back in. Final hour of this Wednesday show. Back to the guest line we go. He hadn't been on in a couple of years, but it's our buddy Edward Egros. He's the sports director for Fox News 4 in Dallas. And Edward, I hope you're doing well, getting ready for the holiday season.
Doing very well. Thanks so much for having me on. It has been a little bit. I do remember who you are, though. You know, I still am hoping for that Christmas basket from you at some point.
Well, you just may get that coming your way here because let me ask you, what was the thought process of the folks at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas when Clemson and Notre Dame came up that they're going to be playing the 29th at Jerry World? Because, you know, it is new blood. Clemson hasn't been to the Cotton Bowl since 1939, but the one thing you could count on with Oklahoma is it's going to be an absolute jam-packed house. So was there any is it all excitement or was there a little, oh, I wish we could have gotten Oklahoma here?
Well, absolutely. I think a lot of people wanted Oklahoma over here. But the problem is they're the four seed. Yep. And Alabama is significantly farther away than Oklahoma is. And so I think even though the Sooners would have definitely brought a huge crowd, just driving 2 to 3 hours from Norman, I think the problem is it would have become an Oklahoma home field advantage at AT&T Stadium as opposed to an Alabama one. You know, something to keep in mind here, I think from the fan perspective, when you are rooting for a college football program that does very well and they're playing for tons and tons of national championships and conference championships and they have neutral field games all across the country, at some point, fans can't keep shelling out money to go to these games. They can't afford to keep on going. So what that means to me is that for a semifinal and you have a national championship that's in the Bay Area this go-round, a lot of Alabama fans either just cannot afford to go or they're saving up their money to go to the bigger deal that they feel like they can make. So that tells me that Oklahoma could have even more of a significant home field advantage if the game were to be played at AT&T Stadium. Now, Alabama does have the number one seed, and so from their perspective, it would make a lot more sense for Oklahoma to make a longer journey, and that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, we thought Alabama was going to be coming to the Cotton Bowl for quite some time because it is a shorter distance, but to make sure that things are fair and that Alabama still has something that is a tangible advantage, they're going down to the Orange Bowl. The Cotton Bowl gets Clemson and Notre Dame, and, I mean, it's certainly something that people are happy about. I mean, there's a lot of good things that Clemson can do, and Notre Dame will always bring a ton of fans down south. So in that regard, I think we are excited here.
Well, I know this much. You were talking about a lot. This would have been Clemson's maybe fourth or fifth trip to South Florida for the Orange Bowl in about an 11-year period. And a lot of people were saying, you know what, I'm going to skip it and hope they win and go to Santa Clara. Those very same people are now making plans to go to Dallas because it's a new experience. So I can promise you this much, between the Clemson fan base and the media, you're going to see a lot of orange in the Dallas Metroplex on December 29th.
Going to see a lot of orange in the Metroplex. Going to see a lot of green and blue and gold from Notre Dame fans as well. I mean, we are expecting a lot of people to show up to the Metroplex for that weekend. And by the way, if I may add, I do like the idea of having this on December 29th on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I think, this, and I know you've talked about this on your show, but having New Year's Eve semifinals, it just doesn't work. And I'm glad that college football has finally recognized this. Yes, having it on New Year's Day would be preferred, but I think this is a great second option. And so I think that's why you are going to see a lot more fans just mulling around the Metroplex because they have the time to, they have the ability to, and they're able to get back on a Sunday and get back to wherever they are.
So what should Clemson fans expect when they hit Dallas? Because, you know, we're used to seeing Dallas-Fort Worth when the news or the weather comes up. People that don't realize they're actually, about 40 minutes apart from each other. And Jerry World kind of sits between.
Without traffic.
Yeah, without traffic. And Jerry World kind of sits there in between. So you get a lot of different options when you come out to Texas for the Cotton Bowl.
You absolutely do. And when it comes to Arlington, we just launched Texas Live, which has a lot of restaurants and shops and bars. And that's fairly close to AT&T Stadium, almost walking distance, really. And that has a lot of fun options for entertainment before and after the game. I would also say it depends on what you're looking for. Dallas is a lot more cosmopolitan. If you're looking for, you know, sort of stereotypical Texas cowboys and things like that, you're better off going to Fort Worth. They're better at tailoring those kinds of things. But Dallas is a lot more cosmopolitan. If you're looking to do some ritzy shopping or something like that, Dallas is probably the better option. So it really depends on what you want. It's a Dallas more cosmopolitan, Fort Worth more sort of stereotypical essence of Texas. But both are fantastic. And if you want to stay closer to Arlington where the game's going to be played, Texas Live just launched, and there are a lot of cool things to do there as well.
Now, it was a big day for your area when it was announced, and I didn't even know this was coming, but the PGA is moving from Florida to Frisco, Texas. I guess they're building them this massive area up there, which includes a golf course where they will host two of the upcoming PGA championships in the late 20s and early 30s. So, I mean, it's not just Dallas and Arlington now. Frisco, Texas is becoming one of the hotbeds of sports as well.
I think we need to rename it DFFW, right? Dallas, Frisco, Fort Worth. I don't know if it's going to catch on, but I'm going to do my best, and anything you can do to help me campaign that movement would be terrific in terms of grassroots. But as far as Frisco goes, I mean, they've attracted a lot of things. The Cowboys' new headquarters is now in Frisco, and that thing is gorgeous. If you get a chance to check it out, I highly recommend it. They do give tours. FC Dallas is also there. Toyota Stadium, where FC Dallas plays, is great. The National Soccer Hall of Fame is adjacent to the pitch there. And there are a lot of new things that have been built around Frisco within the last few months, much less the last few years. And this is just going to be another thing that makes Frisco even more of a hotspot, more of a destination. And it's not surprising. Frisco has attracted a lot of things lately. It's become quite the hub, being just north of Dallas, about a half-hour drive again without traffic. And, you know, when is there not traffic? But Frisco is a lot of fun. And even spots north of Frisco, I mean, I have a lot of friends just north of there who've said there was nothing here just 5 years ago, and now we're becoming a thing. Wow. And as we sort of inch closer to the Oklahoma border, Dallas, the Metroplex in general, is really taking over.
Well, your big thing, too, is we're talking with Edward Egros, the sports director for Fox News 4 in Dallas. And, Edward, you know, you'll be out of the market because you'll be covering the Dallas Cowboys while Clemson's in there playing in the Cotton Bowl. How was the best thing that could have happened to the Cowboys team getting laid out by the Tennessee Titans? Because it's been four consecutive wins since then. Troy Aikman had a meltdown, said blow up the franchise, everything else, and don't look now after four consecutive wins. Dallas has a one-game lead in the NFC East, and quite frankly, I think they're going to continue to roll from this point forward. Washington's dysfunctional and broken, and the Eagles look like they're coming along, but what a wild month there for the Dallas Cowboys.
It has been incredible, to say the least. But I think some of that was only a matter of time. I think, number one, Amari Cooper, the Cowboys receiver, acquired via midseason trade. Cowboys give up a first-round pick right after the Washington loss. There was going to be some time, some growing pains to make sure that Amari was going to be part of this passing offense. And really, it was in his second game as part of the Cowboys when things started to turn around for Dak Prescott and for this offense in general. So I think that needed a little bit of time to come together, and it has. And on the defensive side of the ball, Leighton Vander Esch, the rookie linebacker, first-round pick from this past draft, he has been quite the sensation. I mean, there are not enough stats that really quantify just how powerful he has been for this defense. I'll share a couple of them. In terms of tackles per snap, how many opportunities do you have for a tackle versus how many times you are actually tackling whoever has the football? He has been number one or number two among all linebackers. And keep in mind, he did not have that many opportunities at the start of the year because of Sean Lee. Well, Sean Lee gets injured. Leighton Vander Esch comes in as a starter. He gets a lot more snaps, a lot more opportunities, and he has been making the most of them. He is now the Wolf Hunter. That is his nickname. And so I don't know if I am contractually required to howl whenever I say his name. That hasn't quite happened yet, but I'm sure at some point someone will tell me I have to. But until that happens, he's been unbelievable, and he's a rookie. So that would take some time for this defense to adjust. But I think it's only been a matter of time before the Cowboys got to a rhythm that they are comfortable with. Now, beating the Saints, I mean, that's unbelievable in a lot of ways. Mm. But right now they are clicking you know, at a level where we were sort of expecting them to be at by this point. Will they run the table the rest of the way? I'm not sure. It is football. You'll probably lose one or two here and there, but I am willing to say that this team is playoff now.
Yeah, I am too, because again, Washington's quarterback situation's a mess. Philadelphia is the only team that can challenge you in the East. But let me ask you, Edward, you know, the second longest tenured coach in Cowboys history is Jason Garrett, now at 9 years. If they go 9-7, maybe 10-6 again, and they're a first round victim in the playoffs, at what point do Dallas Cowboys fans go, that's not good enough with the amount of money and Jerry World and everything else that we have here?
Well, I think some fans still believe that what Jason Garrett has done this year isn't enough, even with a 7-5 start and all indications pointing to winning this division and making the playoffs. I still think Cowboys fans are not content with what he's doing, and that's in large part because of this offense. A lot of Cowboys fans feel like that Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback, that he can lead this team to some unbelievable postseason success. Now, that certainly is up for debate, and we can certainly have that debate. But the point is, a lot of Cowboys fans feel that way because of how well he played his rookie year. And because this offense can be a little stagnant, can be a little predictable, it has prevented the Cowboys from necessarily being as dynamic as they could be. Now, keep in mind, one of the reasons why this offense is predictable is because you have Ezekiel Elliott. The running back, he doesn't do a whole heck of a lot in terms of a variety of different things, but he is a powerful runner, and he is still successful in a lot of ways. And especially with this offensive line coming together, he can be a success, which means the offense is not going to be that predictable because you have your bell cow running back. You know what you have with him, and he can't necessarily do a bunch of other things in terms of the passing game. So I look at all of that, put it all together, and say, yes, Jason Garrett is still on the hot seat despite possibly winning this division. And, yes, coaches have been fired for making the playoffs that same season. I mean, it wouldn't be unprecedented for the Cowboys to make a change. However, Jason Garrett does love Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones also loves Dak Prescott. And so if there is some sort of semblance of success, I can see this happening for another year. There needs to be something obvious one way or the other for Jerry Jones to make a decision whether to keep him or move on. And honestly, I'm not sure if we know that we have something obvious in terms of keeping him or moving on. We may not know that until next year when you have a full year with Amari Cooper. Again, this offensive line will have some more questions answered in terms of what's going on with the center, Travis Frederick. But it's still a work in progress, and still many questions are left to be answered. And so the only thing you can tell Cowboys fans at this point is just be patient. And they don't like hearing that, but patience may very well be a virtue in this situation.
Listen, Edward, thanks for giving us an idea about Dallas and everything else. I know you won't be there, but if I ever find you're 45 minutes up the road here from Greenville and you don't hit me up ahead of time, man, we're going to be brawling out there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Okay, bud?
Appreciate that. Yes, that was very polite.
Yeah, very polite. Well, listen, it's great catching up with you. Glad everything's going well for you. And listen, we wish you and yours the happiest of holidays coming up. And thank you for your time.
The feeling is mutual, man. Feeling is mutual.
All right. There's Edward Egros, Fox Sports 4. No, excuse me, Fox News 4, the sports director out in Dallas. And listen, we're going to have some other people on from the Cotton Bowl coming up and whatnot. But we figured today we'd give you a little voice with the Virginia Cavaliers, Dave Kane, about the Belt Bowl, and, of course, a local news anchor out there in Dallas about the Cotton Bowl. So what does that mean? It means it's open phones for the rest of the show. We got to get into the mess at Auburn. But Diesel, when we come back, a couple of great comments, or one funny comment from an LSU player meeting with the media at the Atlanta College Football Hall of Fame. Also, you got an idea, you want to know an idea why Louisville fans were disgusted with Petrino? We'll give you that as well. So, Diesel, the individual players in Atlanta are meeting with the media at the College Football Hall of Fame ahead of tomorrow night's Home Depot College Football Awards. And the reason I'm not there right now is they're meeting with the media while we're live on the air. So it's either do the show or meet with those guys. But is this going to get LSU Jim Thorpe Award finalist Greedy Williams any trouble before their Fiesta Bowl matchup with UCF? with his teammates in the locker room. He was just asked the difference between LSU and Alabama. And he said, quote, just being real, they can score the ball and we can't. That's going to have Joe Burrow a little bit upset when he gets back to the locker room next week. Anything of that nature, I don't know about it. All right. Our buddy Mark Ennis with ESPN Louisville tweets this out 25 minutes ago. He says, this stuff is infuriating. All right. One of the local high school coaches up there in Louisville said this to him. More coach Bob Reeder noted the recruitment of highly regarded senior defensive end J.J. Weaver, who recently committed to the University of Kentucky. Quote, Bobby Petrino never came to our school, and we have a four-star defensive end that everybody in the country was after. He never took the time to drive 10 miles to our school. To hear the new coach opening that back up and being willing to share and build bridges and fix that PR is absolutely great. I'm excited for it. So guess what? Scott Satterfield already paying up. How in the world, if you're Bobby Petrino, granted you're one of the biggest jackasses that's ever walked the face of this earth, how can you have in Louisville, 10 miles from your office, a four-star defensive end and not go visit that campus?
It's unforgivable. There's no excuse not to.
That is, if an athletic director reads that story and goes, wow, I want to be the next one to give Bobby Petrino a chance, then he should be fired. Because if you can't get 10 miles from your office, how are you going to get 100 miles down the road to some country school? You know what I mean? That's inexcusable. And quite frankly, Louisville fans should be absolutely irate and thankful that the Bobby Petrino era is now over. I mean, that guy, it's... Urban Meyer and him go down to me as two of the worst guys in college football. Now, Urban Meyer, not for what he did at Ohio State. My feelings of Urban Meyer go back to the University of Florida. Been there, done that, don't need to rehash him at this point. But just don't like the guy. I don't think he's a good guy, and quite frankly, I don't think he's really changed. But here is Bobby Petrino, not doing his job, being rude to people, blocking high school coaches in the Louisville area on Twitter, in not recruiting their athletes. Of course, he ended up with Jessica Durrell, the volleyball player, on the back of his motorcycle back in the day when he was cheating on his wife as well. So therefore, I maintain Bobby Petrino, he's not the first nor will be the last husband to ever cheat on his wife. I just don't have to like it. Sorry. All right, what about Auburn? You want to talk about days of our lives. This stuff today is coming down from Josh Moon, one of the reporters with AL.com, which, if you don't know what that is, back in the day you had the Birmingham paper, the Huntsville paper, the Montgomery paper, Mobile. They said, screw it, and they all morphed together for AL.com for an online version. So he covers Auburn for AL.com. I'm just going to go through and read you some of his tweets from today, Diesel, and tell me how bad this gets. The first tweet says, this is the situation at Auburn right now. Top donors and university officials are so unhappy with the head football coach that they are seeking to undercut him by limiting assistance contracts to single-year deals. This is currently preventing Auburn University from hiring Hugh Freeze as offensive coordinator. The second tweet that follows it says, Freeze is reportedly seeking a multi-year deal from future employers. Sources said Gus Malzahn has asked Auburn to waive the recent restriction on multi-year contracts in order to hire Freeze. AU's response, no. The third tweet says, to be clear, I have no source that can say AU is Freeze's top choice, only that Malzahn, in putting together an offer for Freeze, asked for the waiver. There seems to be better ways to run a football program. The fourth and final of these tweets read this, Diesel, on the AU situation, whatever prevents Hugh Freeze from being employed by Auburn University is fine by me. The answer to your program struggles is rarely a disgraced, recently fired coach who has no one's respect. There are good coaches out there, find one. And then he ends up quantifying it. If you're wondering why Auburn donors are were considering paying millions of dollars to get rid of Malzahn, here's a small taste. Sometimes the long-term damage is worse than the immediate bill. We'll get back into that, but we've got, I know we're getting ready to get beat down with Cowboys talk. It's our buddy from Billy from Taylor's. Billy, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Serge, you know, you couldn't start talking about Dallas without me calling. I mean, it just goes without saying. I've been a Cowboys fan since 74 when I was 4 years old back then, and I've been keeping up with them ever since, and I know about as much about their history and about what's going on now with them as anybody.
Well, I will tell you, if you don't consider Golden Richards the greatest wide receiver at Dallas history, you're wrong. Turn down your radio real quick.
Yeah, it's down. Okay. In fact, it's off. So it's not. My phone just flashed for some reason.
Okay.
Anyway, I used to work at a company. I used to have to go out to Dallas and stay weeks upon a time, you know, two or three times a year. And that's when they were building Jerry's World now. And that thing, you know, if you've ever been out there, they've got mountains out in Texas, but they're flat mountains. And even from the forest part off, you can see that thing from miles away. It's so big. It's an astronomical place. And they've got a Six Flags out there, and that's where the Rangers play, too. So it's all together now. But it's a beautiful place. Anyway, I heard the guest, and I'm not doubting anything that he said, but I don't put as much on Garrett. He's right about one thing. This fan base is sometimes it can be stupid. And I'm not saying Garrett's a great coach. I'm not sure. I think he's average. But I think you can win with an average coach if you've got great players. And the thing about Dallas is, you know, Scott Linehan, I think, is an excellent offensive coordinator. Just look at what he's done in his time in the NFL. He's led a lot of great offenses. When you've got a quarterback who is a, understand this, when you go through your progressions, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the fifth guy is usually your check down guy. When you've got a quarterback that goes from 1 to 5 and then 2, 3, and 4 is just overlooked, it really, you know, handicaps the offensive coordinator in play calling. And you can see that with the way that Dallas, goes about calling their games. And a lot of uneducated fans put that on coaching. It's got nothing to do with coaching. And this is not anything personal with Dak. Dak is a great guy. He's a guy who was raised in a military family. He loves this country. I think he's an excellent human being. But he just can't read defenses. And that really handicaps what you're able to do when you're a play caller, especially at that level.
Well, the other thing now. I would say the other thing that I've seen from Dallas is you got to have some creativity on first down. It's way too many run off tackle with the former Ohio State running back. But, this much I do know, there's a franchise that's got more money. They're worth more than any other franchise in the NFL, yet you haven't seen the payoff in the last decade.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, they're winning because of their defense. And he was right about Van Der Esch. That guy is going to be a stud. Mm-hmm. You can see a defense when they've got playmakers at every level, and Dallas does, Jones in the backfield, both Smith and Van Der Esch at linebackers, and then Lawrence on their line. Then if you've got that kind of a defense, you can just about stop anybody. And at the time when they played New Orleans, nobody thought they were going to hold them under 35. And they scored their 13 points off of Dallas turnover. So that shows you how good their defense is. They can go to the divisional round, and then after that it matters about who they match up with, and that's just how it is. Anyway, I know you got to get to a break, Serge. It's good hearing from you, buddy. You take care.
All right, you too, Billy. Always appreciate it. All right, let's do get off to that break. We'll come back. We'll discuss this Auburn situation a little bit more because Gus Malzahn, you must not think you have another future in college football head coaching if you're going to let your school handcuff you like this.
You know, Sturge, that we love quoting Dumb and Dumber any chance we get on this show.
Because we are Dumb and Dumber.
But you started talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Do you realize what you've done? They're coming out of the woodworks now, Sturge.
I'd still stand by it, Jimmy, wanting to talk Cowboys. Golden Richards still had some of the best hair in NFL history and one of the most talented Cowboys wide receivers.
I'll agree with that.
Thank you. Hope you're doing well today.
All right, guys. I don't know if it was your show, Sturge, or the huddle, but as soon as that Amari Cooper trade was made, Some of the other guys were making negative comments. They didn't think he was going to make a difference. And I said, no. I mean, the guy had over 100 receptions his last year at Alabama. He was a first-round pick, so it's obvious that he's a talent. And Dak Prescott did not have a go-to receiver, mm-hmm. and it appears that I was right. I'm not always right, but it appears that it's helping out a lot.
The fortunate thing for Amari Cooper is John Gruden is just selling off the Oakland Raiders, so rack up a bunch of draft picks, and they will reinvent themselves when they move to Las Vegas. Now, whether Gruden's there or not, but the entire time that Amari Cooper was in Oakland, he was misused.
Yeah, and Chucky is a dip, you know what?
Yeah, that's the thing. He actually won at Tampa with somebody else's players. You know, he kind of came in, got his NFL, his Super Bowl title, and people forget the end of his career in Tampa, they were ready for him to go. So I would almost make the comment he won with somebody else's players, and look, his other stints just haven't been that good.
Yeah, it's like, look, as one of the best linebackers in pro football, and he showed him no respect, didn't even bother to talk to him, and now look what he's doing for the Chicago Bears. And now then he let Amari Cooper go, and look what he's doing for the Cowboys. I mean, he looks like a real idiot right now.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody was lining up to give him an open contract and an open checkbook to come run their program because he was the face of Monday Night Football. You know what? Some people are just better in that role. Now, I would like to see John Gruden get it done, especially in moving to Las Vegas, but history suggests, Jimmy, that may not very well be the case. Now, as a Cowboys fan, is 9-7, 10-6 going to be long term good enough? Jason Garrett next year will be a Cowboys head coach for a decade, and in this day and age of the NFL, that is almost unheard of.
I am not a Jerry Jones fan. I think he is the main reason that the Cowboys have floundered since they won the Super Bowl. It's like that was the stupidest thing that he could have ever done, was parting ways with Jimmy Johnson. And then Barry Switzer, a wishbone coach, taking over. And, hey, what was surprising, he won the Super Bowl, but he won it with Jimmy Johnson's players.
Yeah, I would have to say egos got involved. And Jimmy, if you ever want to see how those kind of egos came about between Jimmy Johnson and of course, Jerry Jones, have you watched that one-hour SEC Network deal on their career at Arkansas? And, Jimmy was just a hardworking kid that came down from the Gulf Coast. And, of course, Jerry Jones was looking to make money his entire time at Arkansas. So they really had pretty much stayed the same path ever since then.
Yeah, it's definitely Jerry's world.
Yep, definitely Jerry's world. All right, Jimmy, thanks for the phone call, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, Diesel, when it comes to – let me get your opinion. Why is Auburn at this point – you got a ridiculous buyout on your head coach, Gus Malzahn. You got scared. You thought he might leave for Arkansas. You signed him to a $38 million buyout. Now it does go down a little bit next year. But if you've got that kind of money invested into your head coach, do you not want him to be successful?
Yeah.
Then why do you limit him the way that Auburn's Board of Trustees have? Number one, I will ask you this much. If you're the agent of Gus Malzahn, why aren't you shopping his name somewhere else right now? Because let me tell you, when the Board of Trustees and the athletic director are now starting to dictate terms that your assistants can only have a one-year contract, this, that, and the other, to me, that is the beginning of the end, why there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Well, quality coaches, especially at the high level, the offensive and defensive coordinators, they want some job security. They're not willing to sign one-year deals to come to Auburn.
Well, especially Hugh Freeze. I mean, this would be Hugh Freeze's first job since he was let go due to all the, cheating on the wife and lying and everything else that he did at Ole Miss. Now, I'm not exactly sure that that's the coach I want to go right off into the sunset with as my last shot to keep my Auburn job, but who knows? Maybe you do it. But Jimmy Sexton knows what the deal is. I mean, he is the super agent. Listen, he didn't even have Scott Satterfield's best interest at heart the other day. He was actually trying to float some of his other clients before Vince Tyra, the Louisville athletic director, said, no, this call's about Scott Satterfield. Well, if that's the case, maybe nobody else wants him. And maybe the reason Gus Malzahn is staying at Auburn is he realizes he'll never have it that good again. By that, I mean, can you sit here and look? I would be, if I were Gus Malzahn, being 100 miles away from Atlanta at Auburn, I might make a play for the Georgia Tech job at this point just to get out of there. But I just don't know why Auburn can't get out of their way. And by that, I mean the athletic director's got to have his input. The board of trustees had to have his input. Bobby Lauder, back in the day, that ended up in jail because of the Colonial Bank scandal, he had to have his input. Bama has been so dysfunctional at times over the history of their football program, but they finally learned to shut up, go get a coach and say, go do your thing, and they let Nick Saban do his job. Maybe the upside's not as good for Gus Malzahn, but obviously there's two different ways to do things, and Auburn's doing it wrong. And right now, this is an absolute mess, and you're handicapping your head coach. You obviously, I'm betting money this played into Kelly Bryant's decision when he decided where he was going for 1 year. So I just don't know. I just don't know why Auburn cannot get out of their own way.
You know why? Because the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yep. There's a lot of truth in that. Billy, Irish Billy gets in and says, yeah, you're right. I got to credit the team that he built in Oakland that got Rich Gannon a map and went to the Super Bowl. Had a great team robbed in the Tuck Rule game. Yeah, I guess it's just so far away, you know what I mean, that you don't remember that. I remember kind of the end of that Tampa Bay era in which he won the Super Bowl and then kind of faded out. But you know what? There's a lot to be said that that's what happens in coaching. But, Billy, yeah, you're absolutely correct on that one. I forgot about that game up at New England in the snow, and that was actually little Chucky on the call of that game. So thank you, or on the coaching that game. Thank you very much, Irish Billy, and I hope you're going to get in with us and talk some Cotton Bowl here over the next couple of weeks as well. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can give us a call to roll out the show with. We got a couple of news and notes we'll let you know about tomorrow as well. Friday, I'm taking the day off. Actually, the next couple of Fridays off is, you know what, Diesel? It sucks. I can complain. I have nobody to blame but myself, but come December 31st, I'm eating some personal and vacation days, but I am going to try to get three of them out here. Of course, next Friday, it's the big family wedding down in Charleston, and can't miss that. However, we're getting smart, Diesel. My wife had better called up to the school at Eastside to make sure Leslie Brooke can go visit the College of Charleston next Friday as well. All right, we're in studio closing up shop on this Wednesday night. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bill, wanting to talk college football. Bill, hope you're having a good Wednesday.
I'm doing okay, Sturge. How are you?
Listen, coming down the stretch, man. One more day this week, and I'm going to get a Friday off.
That'll be good. It's sad college football's coming to an end, but it is what it is, right?
Well, after some – yes, it is, but to be honest with you, please don't feel too sorry for me, but after a bunch of six-day work weeks, I'm kind of ready to spend some time with my wife and child.
I understand. Before I ask about college football, I think we have a couple of mutual contacts that maybe you don't know about. I've heard you talk about Chris Patton on the show before.
Oh, yeah. I played high school, I played against him in high school golf back in the day, and actually stayed in a hotel room with him and Roger Manley and Nick DeCraft. They were all on that Hillcrest golf team at the same time.
Roger Manley is my cousin.
Ha-ha. All right. Yeah, that was like 1985, 84, something like that.
Yeah. If Big Daddy would come out to the golf course at Carolina Springs with flip-flops and shorts and take your clubs out of your bag and still whip you up.
Yep, so. Absolutely he would.
And then I think both of our fathers worked and retired from the same company.
Well, then I know your dad did well.
So. He did 49 years there, yeah.
All right. It's college football. What you got?
Well, I just, what do you think the Ryan Day guy is going to do at Ohio State, in your opinion? You think he's going to be successful there?
First of all, you know, based off of three games, yeah, but that was still Urban Meyer meeting with him, putting game plans together and everything else. I hate somebody, and it's worked out for Georgia, but Kirby Smart learning how to be a head football coach at the University of Georgia, you know, maybe that's what took a little bit of why he called that fake punt on Saturday. You know what I mean? That's part of the maturation process. The other thing is that you always hear, Bill, don't be the guy that follows the legend. Be the guy that follows the guy that follows the legend. So Ryan Day at like $3.5 to $4 million, that's nothing. And if it doesn't work out over a 2 to 3 year period, then guess what? You can kick him and go on a national search. But I think they wanted some continuity because, quite frankly, the players have bought into Ryan Day and they feel like he's a really good coach. Now, at Alabama, I mean, I understand when we hired Mike Shula to come clean things up, but you don't learn how to be a football coach at Alabama.
Right, right. I understand. I just wanted your take on that. And then last thing on college football, how do you think Kelly Bryant's going to work out at Mizzou?
I think that's interesting, and thanks for the phone call. And, hey, give your cousin Roger, tell him hello. I'm sure he may or probably will not remember me. But, Diesel, when it comes to Kelly Bryant at Missouri, I looked at it, and I was stunned last night when it came down that it was Missouri. I mean, I really did think it was going to be Auburn. I could even have made the case for North Carolina because Mack Brown needs something in his first year, what's going to be a, you know, five-year career at North Carolina, and maybe that could have been a stopgap there. But I do know this much from Barry Odom. He's an offensive guy. He just got an extension for $600,000, putting him up over $3 million a year. That may have had something to do with Kelly Bryant's decision with all the angst that's going on at Auburn. But Drew Locke has become one of the top most draftable quarterbacks in this year's draft. One of the things you know Drew Locke got at Missouri was some good quarterback coaching. So I'm guessing that's why it took place. Number two, you're talking about a offense. I mean, Missouri football is predicated on offense, and if you go out there and you have a good record next year and you outscore people, then guess what? You're going to be you're going to get more than noticed by the NFL scouts. So I think that this is more about tutelage than it is so much about Missouri or something along those lines. He must have felt really good and comfortable with that quarterback's coach that's done a really nice job with their current one, Drew Locke. So I'm guessing that also it's awfully dysfunctional at Auburn right now. And again, if I'm Gus Malzahn's agent, I'm taking a hard look. Now, how do I get my client out of there? Because they obviously don't want him, because they're already starting to handcuff him. And when that happens, it's not going to be good enough, and they're going to go ahead and fire him. So there is no perfect answer to it, I guess, is what it comes to. So anyway, Diesel, tomorrow, plan on everything's updated with the Comrex and everything being back at Smoke on the Water. And I can let you know we're going to go through the ACC Bowl matchups tomorrow with our buddy Brett Freelander, who is the ACC insider for the North State Journal up in North Carolina. We'll also catch up with Jordan Coons from the Swamp Rabbits, because Greenville has now won three consecutive games. And they've got Friday and Saturday in Fort Myers, Florida, against the Florida Everblades, and then they'll come home for the 14th and 15th next weekend against the very same team. And go ahead and write it down. I would be there in calling the game with Jordan, but I've got a family wedding down in Charleston. But next Friday, December 14th, is the teddy bear drop. So bring a teddy bear when the first period's over and they call you to come down to the ice and throw it on the ice, and they're going to collect them all, and all those teddy bears are going to end up in the hands of a needy child here in the upstate for Christmas. So you can come get some of the best entertainment for your entertainment dollar with the Swamp Rabbits, and make a difference and make sure some kids get some teddy bears. That's a win-win, no doubt about it. You can go get your tickets at swamprabbits.com. So, again, Brett Freelander and Jordan Koons tomorrow, and working on one more. Then Mark Childress will be in this chair here in studio on Friday. As again, I'm going to take the next couple of Fridays off, so only burn like four vacation days when New Year's Eve rolls around. Diesel, I bet you're not burning a single personal day, are you?
I messed up. I'm losing like three.
Thank you. I'm just glad Dale's
here.
It's
not bad. We have so many vacation days over the next weeks that, you know, I was
when you're sitting here on December 5th with five vacation days and two personal days left, you have mismanaged your year. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, yeah. You have 7 days.
Well, available. I did have to take a month off for the surgery, so that's why I tried not to take too many days off.
Yeah, you already had your vacation. I don't want
to
hear
anybody
it.
Wants to tell me that was a vacation. you're out of your freaking mind, all right? So here's the deal. We will have a replay of Tiger Calls with Coach Brad Burnell from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. Of course, Don Munson on the call. But don't try to get in live. That was done on Monday. We'll replay it. We've also, I think we've got Clemson women's basketball on our 1330 AM station as well. And that's a team that's getting a lot better. They ended the tournament last week with a win over Ohio State. So it's nice to see some improvement on that end of things. All right. If you did not hear your SEC award winners, the offensive player of the year was Tua Tagovailoa. Defensive player of the year, congratulations to Josh Allen, the linebacker from Kentucky, and your SEC Coach of the Year, Mark Stoops from the University of Kentucky. So, Diesel, anyway, go get your five-hour energy. You can go check Diesel out from 7 to midnight on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet Rocks. Also, make sure you go check out ESPNUpstate.com, because the only way that you can win a trip to go see the Rolling Stones in Boston, Massachusetts in 2019 is to go to ESPNUpstate.com. Click the link, get registered. As we like to say, you can't win it if you're not in it. But tomorrow we shall be back at Smoke on the Water. Everything updated on the Comrexes for the upcoming holidays. And look forward to being back down there. And Diesel, like I said, always look forward to catching up with Brett Freelander. But thanks to all of our callers today, all the input on social media at ESPN Upstate, at Sturgis Sport, at Diesel on Radio. And, of course, have a blessed evening. We'll do it again tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.